Amen. Reigns forevermore. Even when the world's going crazy around us, Jesus reigns. Amen. Yeah, he does. And remember that, okay? The battle has already been won. The enemy's still throwing a fit, okay? Like a little toddler throwing a fit, not wanting to go to bed, all right? But the battle has already been won. Jesus has paid the price, and we are here to celebrate. Amen. All right. Well, welcome this morning, whether you're here physically or here online. May you just feel God's presence, and may his word speak to you, and just deep down inside your spirit. Let's start with our readings, Eric.
Okay, the first reading is from Romans 12, verse 14. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. The second reading is from 2 Timothy 3, 10 through 17. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, and sufferings. What kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Here ends the lesson.
Please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. Jesus speaking. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what more are you doing than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Any kids want to head out for children's church at this time? Feel free. You got a good activity planned. I saw Jill working it up last night, so it's going to be good. It's going to be good. Lesson planning. Anybody else been there? Yeah. Alrighty. Lord, we thank you for your word that you have entrusted us with. May we be faithful to you, Lord, as all the world comes against us, as we're going to hear here. That we would stand firm with you. Amen. Been working through Romans 12, basically one verse at a time. And it's been an interesting trip. And Romans 12, just instructions basically for how to live as a Christian. All right, offer yourself up as a living sacrifice. Use me, Lord, however you want. Don't be conformed to the ways of this world. You know, we should stand out as a little different, but in a good way. All right, so rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn, as we're going to hear. And today, a little bit about persecution, the one verse that we're focused on today, as Paul's writing to Romans. Bless those who persecute you, bless, and do not curse. Persecution, in Greek, dioko, a word that would strike fear into people's hearts back in the early church. It was a tough time, but this was nothing new. Persecutions had been going on since the beginning, basically. You read in Daniel, about 600 B.C., Daniel's written, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, refusing to bow down and worship an idol. Refusing to bow down and worship an idol. Yes. Okay? Let us stand firm. We're not going to bow down to other things, only to God. Thrown in the fiery furnace is the result. of standing up for what they believe in. Facing certain death, a horrible death, by burning. But there was another in the fire standing next to them, right? God sent an angel, rescued him, and used them then as an example to encourage others. And even people that do die for their faith or martyred do stand as an example and encourage others. I have a lot of respect for those that have done that and those that continue to do that. Later on in Daniel himself refused to worship the king. Thrown into a den of lions, sure to be torn limb from limb again in a horrible death, but no, God rescued him. About 130 years later, we get to the book of Esther. Haman, under Xerxes, sought to extinguish the Jewish people. The Jewish people. Later on, the Germans sought to do that too, so I was getting screwed up on that. But yeah, he was out there. He was going to make them extinct. He was going to get rid of the Jewish people entirely. These are God's chosen people that God had sworn that he would protect and stand by. And he still does stand by Israel today. No doubt about it. He will bless those who bless him and curse those who curse them. So Mordecai then, of course, exposes Haman, and the Jews are saved through Esther, who earned favor with the king. Later on in the intertestamental times, you had the 400 years of silence, right? We had the Old Testament, and then there's 400 years where the prophets did not hear from God. And then Jesus came, of course, and started up the New Testament, the new part of the Bible there. But during that time, the Jews again persecuted, overthrown by a Syrian king, Antiochus IV Epiphanes, about 168 BC. This guy was brutal. People who persecute are brutal. Some physically, some emotionally, some spiritually, some all of the above. This guy really was brutal. He wanted again to extinguish the Jewish religion, God's people. He just wanted to wipe them out completely. He took over Jerusalem. He took over the temple, then sacrificed a pig on the altar. He took the holy altar, sacrificed a pig on it. All right, this is one, it's not in the Bible, this is a historical account, so you hear this in. But no, truth, for sure. Forced the Jews to eat unclean food. I mean, he was just brutal. Until the Maccabees revolt that led the Jews to freedom. And they had a period of time where they had freedom to worship as they wanted, to go about as they wanted, and to be free. Something that perhaps we take for granted is freedom. We have the right here to worship as we want, to go about freely, to have free speech, all kinds of freedoms that we should enjoy and protect and not take for granted. Well, it wasn't long before the Roman Empire came in. Okay, once again, God's people under the thumb of others, but still given some autonomy. That's how the Romans worked. They'd come into a region, they would take over, but they would let the people, you know, have some autonomy, govern themselves enough to keep them happy, as long as they didn't get too far out of line. If they did get too far out of line, the Romans knew how to deal with that. And it was not pleasant for those that experienced it. Throughout Roman times, there are many persecutions. Going into the early church, in Acts, you read about the persecutions. Early Christians, Hebrews 11, just reading an excerpt from that here. A reminder of what some people have suffered for the faith. Here we go, Hebrews, Mike, wake up. Okay, before James, there we go. Hebrews 11, 35-38. Talks about people who are believers and standing up for what they believe in. Quenched the fury of the flames, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness turned to strength. Okay, women received back their dead, raised to life again. Here we go. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Well, even when given the chance to escape, they didn't. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. Yeah, because of their faith. Because not bowing down to idols, standing up for what they believe in. Well, today, we've got it pretty easy. I personally have never been persecuted for my faith. Maybe someone said something about me, big deal, okay? But I have not been physically persecuted. Or now that you can actually get legally persecuted for your faith. They're creating laws and stuff that Christians should not bow down to. But around the world today, they estimate there's 5,000 people a year killed for being Christians. You know, three times the population of Starbucks, thereabouts, killed for being Christians. Not bowing down, but standing up for what they believe in and being killed. About 90% of these are in Africa. When you think of persecution of Christians, you think of the Mideast. And yes, absolutely, Pakistan, Afghanistan, it's rampant. But in about 90% of the deaths are in Western Africa, Nigeria, Burkina Faso, places like that. Boko Haram, Islamic extremists, fundamentalists, are living there, and they come in to villages, find out who's Christian, execute them, force people out of their homes, destroy and burn churches. You can read all this. It's out there. Do you hear it often in the news? No, you don't. This is real. This is happening. Check out some other websites. This is 100% legit. Putting people in jail. Another tactic used in Pakistan especially is forcing Christians to marry non-Christians. Forced marriages. Basically, institutionalized rape. A horrible thing. Horrible thing. To crack down on Christians. A religion that promotes love. It says we should be nice to others and serve others. What kind of threat does that pose? I mean, this is something that is an ideal. This is something that we should live for, something we should strive to live up to love others, to be kind to others. Just like that shirt, be kind. That sums up Christianity pretty much right there. Well, we got the gospel. You're not good enough, but Jesus is, and he died for your sins. You got to give thanks for that. But to follow Jesus' example of showing compassion to others, what kind of threat would that pose? Again, that's something we should promote, you'd think. But it is a threat to many of these other religions and governments. In many of those places, they want people to be dependent on the government. Instead, the Christians are not dependent on the government. We're dependent on God, right? We are dependent on God. You know, we must answer to God rather than man, Acts 5:29. We must. Okay? Freedom and Christianity go hand in hand. And we are freedom in Christ, right? We are free from sin. We are free from guilt. We are free from shame. We are free from all these other things. Yeah, we can still be persecuted. That'll happen. But we are free spiritually. And our future is guaranteed. Christianity is also light unto this world, and it exposes dark and corruption. Those in power don't want the darkness and the corruption exposed. Christianity, therefore, is a threat to them. And it's a threat, again, to their power and their control. Any dictator is just high on power, basically. Power and greed, and they want to be the absolute authority. Indeed, some want to be worshipped. Kim Jong-un in North Korea wants to be worshipped as a god. The Roman emperors wanted to be worshipped as gods. They wanted that much power and the allegiance of people. Of course, as Christians, our allegiance is to God. So we are a threat, then, to these other belief systems, perhaps, and others that, I don't know, we promote loving others, and that's a threat. I'm still trying to wrap my brain around that, okay? There's other forces at work here, though, right? There's other forces at work, because you got to remember where the persecution comes from. It comes from the enemy. That enemy is influencing people, and he does not want God's truth to be told. And he's going to try to block it through various means, politically, through dictatorships, through persecution, through all kinds of things. And again, it's nothing new. We had heard about it happen in the Old Testament, it happened in the New Testament, and we see here today Paul warning Timothy about it. As Paul is writing in 2 Timothy, it's his last letter, he knows his time is coming to an end. He's trying to pass on the most important things to Timothy. Because Timothy is going to take the baton, he's going to take the ball, and he's going to run with it. He and Peter and others, John Mark, they're going out as missionaries, bringing the good word to others, and Timothy is Paul's son in the faith. And he says, you know about my teaching. I've trained you in that. I've told you about the truth of Jesus Christ, my way of life, my purpose to spread the gospel, my faith, which sustained him, patience, love and endurance, persecutions, sufferings. And what kind of things had happened to me in Antioch? Well, if we look at Antioch, he was persecuted and then expelled from town, okay? Well, that's minor compared to the other things, where he had been beaten with rods, he had been stoned and left for dead, where he had been given the 40 lashes minus one three times. I mean, he had it tough. And then wandering around, dependent on others, you know, because he didn't bring a lot with him. He had his tent-making skill, which he could apply. He joined that with Priscilla and Aquila at times.
He mentions what happened to him at Antioch at Iconium. There, he had signs and wonders were performed. I mean, he was preaching the gospel, and it was backed up with signs and wonders and miracles. I mean, that's really cool when you see that, the deaf being able to hear, the blind to see, the lame to walk, things we cannot explain in other ways. Clearly, the power of God is with him. How did the people respond? They plotted to stone him. He had to escape. He mentions what happened at Lystra. There he was stoned and left for dead. Dragged out of town, stoned, and left for dead. That would not be pleasant. Anybody ever been hit with a rock before? I remember my brother and I, when we were little, chased a squirrel up a tree, and then we stood on either side of the tree throwing rocks up at it, right? One here. So my brother throws a rock, comes out, boom, and I started bleeding in the forehead, right? Okay, now that's minor. I thought it was a big deal as a little kid. But to be surrounded by people, being hit with stones multiple times to the point where they think, okay, he's dead now. For his faith. Because he was not accepted by others for standing up for what he believed in. By promoting this Christianity to love one another. In fact, everyone who wants to, but the Lord rescued me from all of them, from all these things. God rescued him. God was faithful. Yeah, he hurt for a while. Absolutely, 100%. Rejected, of course, as well. But God rescued him. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Okay. Everyone? Is that just for this time, back in those years? Or is it today as well? Again, I've never been physically persecuted. But there are places where that's happening. In China, where they're trying to stomp out Christianity, other places where they have to go underground churches and house churches. And the more they try to stomp it out, the stronger it becomes. Our faith, something like our freedom that we sometimes take for granted. But in places like China or North Korea, where your faith is so precious, it is so precious, when you're persecuted, it just becomes stronger. As they try to stomp it out, they strengthen people's faith. Faith is more precious where persecution exists. Faith is more precious where persecution exists. Here, where it does not exist then, is not as precious to people. Your faith should be precious to you, for all of us as believers. Something that we value, something that we seek to share with others, the most important thing in our life, our faith in God. The thing that we most want to pass on to our children, our faith in God. Something that we take for granted, faith and freedom. So all will be persecuted. And again, we are not physically persecuted here, but they're trying to enact laws and legislation where Christians actually can be persecuted for standing firm for this, what we believe in right here. And here at Shalom, we are going to stand firm. We're going to stand up for this. Amen? Amen. We are. Okay. Because we must obey God rather than man. Man's going to create laws. Man's going to make poor choices. Man's going to come up with all kinds of stuff. But we must stand up for what we believe in. The key is to do it in a loving way, right? Not in a condemning way. We can't be condemning others. We are meant to love others, to bring others freedom, to build up the faith of others in a positive way, in a good way. So as for you, continuing what you have learned, again, standing firm, stand firm, and have become convinced of, because you know from those who you learned it. It's been passed down to us. The scriptures, they're able to make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And the scripture, it says all scripture is God breathed, of course, and useful for teaching us, for equipping us. Everything we need for life is right here. Okay, it's here. Got a question? You're going to find the answer. Well, maybe not equal to, y equals 3x plus, 14 or whatever. Maybe the answer isn't there or something, but I mean, for all of your life choices and situations, and for what you do in any situation, the answer is here, clearly. To follow God, what would Jesus do type thing? Alrighty, so at times we will be persecuted minorly compared to others. How do we respond? How do we respond? Well, Peter wrote about 1 Peter chapter 4, which we had gone through last year. Well, there are some verses here. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory in God rests on you.
if you are insulted. Well, big deal. Well, I guess words hurt, right? If you let them. But if they're words that aren't true, you should listen to them? No. Stand firm for what's right. At times they're going to screw up. Absolutely. People point that out 100%. But if we're insulted for our faith. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed. But praise God that you bear that name. If you ever have the chance to suffer as a Christian, to, you know, maybe it's not to martyr up to the point of death, but you can stand forth as an example.
Also consider, Mike, that they may consider it an insult, but they may consider it praise.
And we may consider it praise, maybe be considered an insult by others, right? And if you're insulted by them, turn the other cheek, and then it's going to make them look even worse, right? Yeah, and that verse is, you know, not for physical attacks, but for insults, turning the other cheek, okay, and persecution. And finally, 19, then those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to the faithful Creator and continue to do good. When persecuted, keep your priorities straight, stand firm, and continue to do good. We're responding by doing good. We're blessing those who persecute us. That sounds sort of familiar, doesn't it? What do we read in Romans today? Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. How we respond then? The world would expect us to respond a different way. The human side of us, and we have this human nature, absolutely, that just wants to fight fire with fire, right? We do. But we have to bless them, which isn't always easy. The human side rises up. Oh, you want to fight back. And there's a time and a place for that. You know, if you're physically threatened or something, absolutely. There's nothing against self-defense that I can see in the Bible. But for things like this, if you're persecuted for what you believe in, for Jesus' sake, bless them. Bless and do not curse. To curse would be worse than just doing nothing. I mean, that's intentionally causing harm to them. And, you know, cursing is bad. Witchcraft, curses, etc. It's addressed through the Bible as bad. And don't curse them with words either, but bless them. That's a weird way to fight back. And to bless them and mean it. Not, you know, in a sarcastic way. We could certainly respond that way, but to genuinely mean it, to be authentic, to bless them. You know, to pray for them. Pray for those that persecute you. Lord, I just pray that they would see the light. That through my actions of blessing them, they would see you, Lord. That they would see the light. They would take a look deep down inside, and your Holy Spirit would fill them, Lord, and they would just come to belief. That they would come to belief in you. That they would repent, to turn away from their evil ways. And that they would choose to follow you, Lord. To have a rebirth, a spiritual awakening, to be born again, to follow you, to commit themselves to following you, God. I pray that this person will do that, Lord. And I mean it. That's how we should respond. That's how we should respond. To take the high road. It's so easy to sink down to their level. So easy to sink down to their level of their attacks. Well, no, to take the high road, to bless others, to bless those who persecute you. Jesus said the same thing. We heard it in Matthew this morning. He's addressing the disciples here. And you have heard it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Okay, love your neighbor, Leviticus 19:18, absolutely. These people knew the Old Testament scriptures, especially the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the temple priests, all of them that were in power there and were the big Jews, okay? You know, hey, our faith is bigger than yours. And no, we're humble, right? We don't want to be Pharisees. But they knew, love your neighbor, and then hate your enemy. I was looking that up. I know the love of your neighbor is throughout Scripture, you know, first commanded in Leviticus and throughout. Where's the part about hate your enemy? I started researching that, and I couldn't find it. What I found was this second part of it. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. The hate your enemy was an inference that was drawn by the rabbis, by the scribes, and the chief priests, and the Pharisees. You're not going to find it in Scripture. Interesting. Okay, they're sort of adding to it a little bit. Should we be adding to what's in here? No. Do not add to or take away from what is written, right? So they had been raised that way. They had heard that. But Jesus turns everything on its head. That's what he does. He comes around and just flips everything in an amazing way and shows us the heart of God.
because Jesus is God. He shows us the heart of God. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Again, genuinely pray for them, that they would see the light, that they would be changed, that they could come to salvation. Scripture tells us that it's not God's will that any should perish, right? That all should come to repentance. Doesn't matter where you've been, doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter how big of a sinner you've been. God's will for you is to turn around and come to Him and accept Him, to repent and come to believe. He wants everybody to be with Him in heaven. Everybody. People are going to choose not to, and it is a choice. It is a choice. Let us choose Him and follow Him. So he says to pray for those who persecute you. Paul's later echoing that in Romans. To again genuinely pray for them, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. We're being his example then. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, sends rain on the righteous and unrighteous. God treats everybody the same, right? He extends the same offer to everybody as well. Follow me. He loves everybody. And that's hard to wrap our minds around. Does God love sinners? Absolutely. He loves us. Now, how about the worst of sinners? Does God love them? Yeah. And if we're to be like God, are we to love them as well? Okay, that's humbling. It is. And to love them, we must speak the truth to them, extend the truth, offer the truth in a loving way, and to pray for them, that they would hear the truth, that they would see the truth, that they would come to know the truth and be set free by the truth of who Jesus is. That they then would seek to love others, that they then would seek to serve others, that they would live lives that glorify God as born-again Christians. That'd be great. Again, not everybody's going to accept that. He ends there, be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect. That's something we can't obtain on our own. But again, Jesus lived that perfect life, and he can cover up our sins. We can be more like Jesus, and we can celebrate that as Christians, if we repent, our sins are forgiven. In the meantime, we got to stand firm. Did Jesus stand firm? Absolutely. Jesus stood firm. Did he ever bow down on any question of Scripture of who God is or any of that? No. Did he love others? Yes. He was able to navigate that, to stand firm on what is written, but to do it in a loving way. Jesus is the ultimate example of that. He is. He never bowed down to other gods, to other schools of thought or ideologies. He spoke the truth. He lived the truth. He is the truth. And he did it in a loving way. Let us do the same. Amen.